Chapter 11. Improving AI with Deep Learning. Newspapers, business magazines, social networks, and non-technical websites are all saying the same thing. AI is cool stuff, and it's going to revolutionize the world because of deep learning. AI is a far larger field than machine learning, and deep learning is just a small part of machine learning. It's important to distinguish hype used to lure investors and show what this technology can actually do, which is the overall purpose of this chapter. This chapter helps you understand deep learning from a practical and technical point of view, and understand what it can achieve in the near term by exploring its possibilities and limitations. The chapter begins with the history and basics of neural networks. It then presents the state-of-the-art results from convolutional neural networks, recurrent neural networks, both for supervised learning, and generative adversarial networks, a kind of unsupervised learning. Shaping neural networks similar to the human brain. The following sections present a family of learning algorithms that derive inspiration from how the brain works. They're neural networks, the core algorithm of the connectionists tribe that best mimics neurons inside human brains at a smaller scale. Remember, connectionism is the machine learning approach based on neuroscience, as well as the example of biologically interconnected networks. Introducing the neuron. Human brains have millions of neurons, which are cells that receive, process, and transmit electric and chemical signals. Each neuron possesses a nucleus with filaments that act as inputs, dendrites that receive signals from other neurons, and a single output filament, the axon, that terminates with synapses devoted to outside communication. Neurons connect to other neurons and transmit information between them using chemicals, whereas information inside the neuron itself is electrically processed. Reverse engineering how a brain processes signals helps the connectionists define neural networks based on biological analogies and their components, using brain terms such as neurons, activation, and connections as names for mathematical operations. Neural networks resemble nothing more than a series of multiplications and summations when you check their math formulations. Yet these algorithms are extraordinarily effective at solving complex problems such as image and sound recognition or machine language translation. Using specialized hardware, they can execute prediction computations quickly. Starting with the miraculous perception. The core neural network algorithm is the neuron, also called a unit. Many neurons arranged in an interconnected structure make up a neural network, with each neuron linking to the inputs and outputs of other neurons. Thus, a neuron can input data from examples or transmit the results of other neurons depending on its location in the neural network. Frank Rosenblatt at the Cornell Aeronautical Laboratory created the first example of a neuron of this kind, the perceptron, a few decades ago. He devised the perceptron in 1957 under the sponsorship of the United States Naval Research Laboratory, NRL. Rosenblatt was a psychologist as well as a pioneer in the field of artificial intelligence. Proficient in cognitive science, his idea was to create a computer that could learn by trial and error just as a human does. The perceptron was just a smart way to trace a separating line in a simple space made by the input data in which you have two features, in this case, the size and level of domestication of an animal, to use to distinguish two classes, dogs and cats, in this example. The perceptron formulation produces a line in a Cartesian space where the examples divide more or less perfectly into groups. The approach is similar to naive Bayes described in Chapter 10, which sums conditional probabilities multiplied by general ones in order to classify. Perceptron didn't realize the full expectations of its creator or financial supporters. It soon displayed a limited capacity, even in its image recognition specialization. The general disappointment ignited the first AI winter and abandonment of connectionism until the 1980s. Yet some research continued despite the loss of funding. Later on, experts tried to create a more advanced perceptron, and they succeeded. Neurons in a neural network are a further evolution of the perceptron. They are many, they connect to each other, and they imitate our neurons when they activate under a certain stimulus. In observing human brain functionalities, scientists noticed that neurons receive signals but don't always receive a signal of their own. Releasing a signal depends on the amount of signal received. When a neuron acquires enough stimuli, it fires an answer. Otherwise, it remains silent. In a similar fashion, algorithmic neurons, after receiving data, sum it and use an activation function to evaluate the result. If the input they receive achieves a certain threshold, the neuron transforms and transmits the input value. Otherwise, it simply dies. Tip: neural networks use special functions called activation functions to fire a result. All you need to know is that they are a key neural network component because they allow the network to solve complex problems. They are like doors, letting the signal pass or stop. They don't simply let the signal pass, however. They transform it in a useful way. Deep learning, for instance, isn't possible without efficient activation functions such as rectified linear unit, ReLU, and thus activation functions are an important aspect of the story. Seeing deep learning as augmentation. Chapter 10 discusses Bayesian networks and includes an example of how such networks can provide diagnostic hints to a doctor. To do this, the Bayesian network requires well-prepared probability data. Deep learning can create a bridge between the capability of algorithms to make the best decision possible, using all the required data and the data that is actually available, which is never in the format that machine learning algorithms understand. Photos, images, sound recording, web data, especially from social networks and company records, all require data analysis to make the data suitable. A future deep learning algorithm could help doctors by matching extensive knowledge in medicine, using all available sources, including books, white papers, and the latest research from the National Institutes of Health, and patient information. The patient information, in turn, could come from previous diagnoses and medicine prescriptions, or even from social media evidence, so that doctors don't need to ask whether the patient has been in Asia, for example. The AI will detect it from its photos on Instagram or Facebook. This scenario may sound like sci-fi, but creating such a system is nearly possible today. For instance, a deep learning AI can now detect pneumonia from X-rays at a level exceeding practicing radiologists, thanks to the Stanford Machine Learning Group. Deep learning also appears in many applications. You find it in social networks in which images and content are automatically classified. In search engines, when queries are retrieved, in online advertising when consumers are targeted, in mobile phones and digital assistants for speech, language understanding, or translation tasks, in self-driving cars for vision detection, and in a Go game by AlphaGo against a champion. In less widely known applications, deep learning can also power robotics and earthquake predictions. You might also find applications such as TinEye helpful. In this case, you supply an image, and TinEye finds it for you on the Internet. Mimicking the learning brain. In a neural network, you must consider the architecture first, which is the arrangement of the neural network components. The following sections discuss neural network architectural considerations. Considering simple neural networks. Contrary to other algorithms which have a fixed pipeline that determines how algorithms receive and process data, neural networks require that you decide how information flows by fixing the number of units, the neurons, and their distribution in layers called the neural network architecture. The layers filter and process information in a progressive way. This is a feed-forward input because data feeds one direction into the network. Connections exclusively link units in one layer with units in the following layer. Information flows from left to right. No connections exist between units in the same layer or with units outside the next layer. Moreover, the information pushes forward from the left to the right. Processed data never returns to previous neuron layers. Using a neural network is like using a stratified filtering system for water. You pour the water from above and the water is filtered at the bottom. The water has no way to go back up. It just goes forward and straight down and never laterally. In the same way, neural networks force data features to flow through the network and mix with each other as dictated by the network's architecture. By using the best architecture to mix features, the neural network creates new composed features at every layer and helps achieve better predictions. Unfortunately, you have no way to determine the best architecture without empirically trying different solutions and testing whether output data helps predict your target values after flowing through the network. Tip: sometimes concepts can be understood better if directly tested in reality. Google offers a neural network playground in which you can actually test how a neural network works in an intuitive manner, which you do by adding or removing layers and changing kinds of activations. Figuring out the secret is in the weights. Neural networks have different layers, with each one having its own weights. Weights represents the strength of the connection between neurons in the network. When the weight of the connection between two layers is small, it means that the network dumps values flowing between them and signals that taking this route isn't likely to influence the final prediction. Likewise, a large positive or negative value affects the values that the next layer receives, thus determining certain predictions. This approach is analogous to brain cells, which don't stand alone but connect with other cells. As someone grows in experience, connections between neurons tend to weaken or strengthen to activate or deactivate certain brain network cell regions, causing other processing or an activity, a reaction to a danger, for instance, if the processed information signals a life-threatening situation. Each successive layer of neural network units progressively processes values taken from features, as in a conveyor belt. As the network transmits data, it arrives at each unit as a summated value produced by the values present in the previous layer and weighted by connections in the present layer. When the data received from other neurons exceeds a certain threshold, the activation function increases the value stored in the unit. Otherwise, it extinguishes the signal by reducing it. After activation function processing, the result is ready to push forward to the next layer's connection. These steps repeat for each layer until the values reach the end and you have a result. The weights of the connections provide a way to mix and compose the inputs in a new way, creating new features by mixing processed inputs in a creative way because of weights and activation functions. The activation also renders non-linear the resulting recombinations of the inputs received by the connections. Both of these neural network components enable the algorithm to learn complex target functions that represent the relationship between the input features and the target outcome. Understanding the role of backpropagation. Learning occurs in a human brain because of the formation and modification of synapses between neurons based on stimuli received by trial and error experience. Neural networks provide a way to replicate this process as a mathematical formulation called backpropagation. Here's how this architecture of interconnected computing units can solve problems. The units receive an example, and if they don't guess correctly, they retrace the problem in the system of existing weights using backpropagation and fix it by changing some values. This process goes for many iterations before a neural network can learn. Iterations in a neural network are called epochs, a name that fits perfectly because a neural network may need days or weeks of training to learn complex tasks. Technical stuff. Backpropagation math is quite advanced and requires knowledge of concepts such as derivatives. You can read a detailed but accessible math description in Machine Learning for Dummies by John Paul Mueller and Luca Masseron-Wiley and get an overview of the necessary calculations. Backpropagation as a concept is intuitive enough to grasp and convey because it resembles what people do when performing a task using iterated approximate trial and error. Since the appearance of the backpropagation algorithm in the 1970s, developers have fixed it many times and are currently discussing whether to rethink it. You can read the opinion of Jeffrey Hinton, one of the co-authors of the method. Backpropagation is at the core of the present AI renaissance. In the past, each neural network learning process improvement resulted in new applications and a renewed interest in the technique. Also, the current deep learning revolution, which involves a revival of neural networks abandoned at the beginning of the 1990s, resulted from key advances in the way neural networks learn from their errors. Introducing deep learning. After backpropagation, the next improvement in neural networks led to deep learning. Research continued in spite of the AI winter, and neural networks overcame technical problems, such as the vanishing gradient, which limits the dimensionality of neural networks. Developers needed larger neural networks to solve certain problems, so large that they were unthinkable in the 1980s. Moreover, researchers started taking advantage of the developments in CPUs and GPUs, the graphic processing units better known for their application in gaming. Technical stuff. The vanishing gradient is when you try to transmit a signal through a neural network and the signal quickly fades to near zero values. It can't get through the activation functions anymore. This happens because neural networks are chained multiplications. Each below zero multiplication decreases the value rapidly, and activation functions need large enough values to let the signal pass. The farther neuron layers are from the output, the higher the likelihood that they'll get locked out of updates because the signals are too small, and the activation functions will stop them. Consequently, your network stops learning as a whole, or it learns at an incredibly slow pace. New solutions help avoid the problem of the vanishing gradient and many other technical problems, allowing larger deep networks in contrast to the simpler shallow networks of the past. Deep networks are possible thanks to the studies of scholars from the University of Toronto in Canada, such as Geoffrey Hinton, who insisted on working on neural networks even when they seemed to most be an old-fashioned machine learning approach. GPUs are powerful matrix and vector calculation computing units necessary for backpropagation. These technologies make training neural networks achievable in a shorter time and accessible to more people. Research also opened a world of new applications. Neural networks can learn from huge amounts of data and take advantage of big data, images, text, transactions, and social media data, creating models that continuously perform better depending on the flow of data you feed them. Big players such as Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and IBM spotted the new trend and since 2012 have started acquiring companies and hiring experts. Hinton now works with Google. Liu Kong, the creator of convolutional neural networks, leads Facebook AI research in the new fields of deep learning. The Google Brain Project, run by Andrew Ng and Jeff Dean, put together 16,000 computers to calculate a deep learning network with more than a billion weights, thus enabling unsupervised learning from YouTube videos. The computer network could even determine what a cat is by itself, without any human intervention. Understanding deep learning issues. As things stand now, people have an unrealistic idea of how deep learning can help society as a whole. You see a deep learning application beat someone at chess and think that if it can do that really amazing thing, what other amazing things can it do? The problem is that even its proponents don't understand deep learning very well. In technical papers about deep learning, the author often describes layers of nebulous processing organized into a network without any sort of discourse as to what actually happens in each of those boxes. The essential point to remember is that deep learning doesn't actually understand anything. It uses a massive number of examples to derive statistically based pattern matching using mathematical principles. When an AI wins a game involving a maze, it doesn't understand the concept of a maze. It simply knows that certain inputs manipulated in specific ways create certain winning outputs. In contrast to humans, deep learning must rely on a huge number of examples to discover specific relationships between inputs and outputs. If you tell a child that everyone between a certain age is a tween, neither a child nor a teen, the child will be able to recognize anyone fitting the category of a tween with a high percentage of accuracy, even when the other person is a complete unknown. Deep learning would require special training to accomplish the same task, and it would be easy to fool because examples outside its experience wouldn't register. Humans can also create hierarchies of knowledge without any sort of training. We know, for example, without much effort, that dogs and cats are both animals. In addition, in knowing that dogs and cats are animals, a human can easily make the leap to see other animals as animals, even without specific training. Deep learning would require separate training for each thing that is an animal. In short, deep learning can't transfer what it knows to other situations as humans can. Even with these limitations, deep learning is an amazing tool, but it shouldn't be the only tool in the AI toolbox. Using deep learning to see patterns where humans can't is the perfect way to apply this technology. Patterns are an essential part of discovering new things. For example, human testing of compounds to battle cancer would take an immense amount of time. By seeing patterns where humans can't, deep learning could make serious inroads toward a solution with a lot less effort than humans would require. Explaining the difference in deep learning. Deep learning may seem to be just a larger neural network that runs on more computers. In other words, just a mathematics and computational power technology breakthrough that makes such larger networks available. However, something inherently qualitative changed in deep learning as compared to shallow neural networks. It's more than the paradigm shift of brilliant techs at work. Deep learning shifts the paradigm in machine learning from feature creation, features that make learning easier and that you have to create using data analysis, to feature learning. Complex features automatically created based on the actual features. Such an aspect couldn't be spotted otherwise when using smaller networks, but somehow evident when you use many neural network layers and lots of data. When you look inside deep learning, you may be surprised to find a lot of old technology, but amazingly, everything works as it never had before. Because researchers finally figured out how to make some simple good old solutions work together, big data can automatically filter, process, and transform data. For instance, new activations like ReLU aren't all that new. They've been known since the perceptron. Also, the image recognition abilities that initially made deep learning so popular aren't new. Initially, deep learning achieved great momentum thanks to convolutional neural networks, CNN, discovered in the 1980s by the French scientist Yann LeCun. Such networks now bring about astonishing results because they use many neural layers and lots of data. The same goes for technology that allows a machine to understand human speech or translate from one language to another. It's decades-old technology that a researcher revisited and got to work in the new deep learning paradigm. Of course, part of the difference is also provided by data. More about this later. The increased usage of GPUs and computer networking. Together with parallelism, more computers put in clusters and operating in parallel, GPUs allow you to create larger networks and successfully train them on more data. In fact, a GPU is estimated to perform certain operations 70 times faster than any CPU, allowing a cut in training times for neural networks from weeks to days or even hours. Finding even smarter solutions. Deep learning influences AI's effectiveness in solving problems in image recognition, machine translation, and speech recognition that were initially tackled by classic AI and machine learning. In addition, it presents new and advantageous solutions. Continuous learning using online learning. Reusable solutions using transfer learning. More democratization of AI using open-source frameworks. Simple, straightforward solutions using end-to-end learning. Using online learning. Neural networks are more flexible than other machine learning algorithms, and they can continue to train as they work on producing predictions and classifications. This capability comes from optimizing algorithms that allow neural networks to learn, which can work repeatedly on small samples of examples, called batch learning, or even on single examples, called online learning. Deep learning networks can build their knowledge step by step and be receptive to new information that may arrive, like a baby's mind, which is always open to new stimuli and to learning experiences. For instance, a deep learning application on a social media website can be trained on cat images. As people post photos of cats, the application recognizes them and tags them with an appropriate label. When people start posting photos of dogs on the social network, the neural network doesn't need to restart training. It can continue by learning images of dogs as well. This capability is particularly useful for coping with the variability of internet data. A deep learning network can be open to novelty and adapt its weights to deal with it. Using transfer learning. Flexibility is handy when a network completes its training, but you must reuse it for purposes different from the initial learning. Networks that distinguish objects and correctly classify them require a long time and a lot of computational capacity to learn what to do. Extending a network's capability to new kinds of images that weren't part of the previous learning means transferring the knowledge to this new problem. Transfer learning. For instance, you can transfer a network that's capable of distinguishing between dogs and cats to perform a job that involves spotting dishes of macaroni and cheese. You use the majority of the layers of the network as they are, you freeze them, and then work on the final output layers, fine-tuning. In a short time and with fewer examples, the network will apply what it learned in distinguishing dogs and cats to macaroni and cheese. It will perform even better than a neural network trained only to recognize macaroni and cheese. Transfer learning is something new to most machine learning algorithms and opens up a possible market for transferring knowledge from one application to another, from one company to another. Google is already doing that, actually sharing its immense data repository by making public the networks it built on it. This is a step in democratizing deep learning by allowing everyone to access its potentiality. Democratization by using open source frameworks. Today, networks can be accessible to everyone, including access to tools for creating deep learning networks. It's not just a matter of publicly divulging scientific papers explaining how deep learning works. It's a matter of programming. In the early days of deep learning, you had to build every network from scratch as an application developed in a language such as C++, which limited access to a few well-trained specialists. Scripting capabilities today, for instance, using Python, are better because of a large array of open-source deep learning frameworks, such as TensorFlow by Google or PyTorch by Facebook. These frameworks allow the replication of the most recent advances in deep learning using straightforward commands. Remember, along with many lights come some shadows. Neural networks need huge amounts of data to work, and data isn't accessible to everybody because larger organizations hold it. Transfer learning can mitigate the lack of data, but only partially, because certain applications do require actual data. Consequently, the democratization of AI is limited. Moreover, deep learning systems are so complex that their outputs are both hard to explain, allowing bias and discrimination to flourish, and frail because tricks can fool those systems. Any neural system can be sensitive to adversarial attacks, which are input manipulations devised to deceive the system into giving a wrong response.